First Thessalonians chapter 4. We have an eventful morning here. We've got a baptism to do. We got people joining the church. So I'm gonna try to go through this quickly. But this is one of the best topics in the Bible. So I don't know how fast I'm gonna go through it. But this is the best, I say one of the best topics, if not the best topic in the Bible here, as far as you and me are concerned. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's pray, and I'm going to talk about comfort for the saved. Father, thank you so much for your words. Lord, thank you for these words. Lord, thank you for your promises and your salvation. Father, thank you for everybody that's here this morning. And I pray everybody here would get something from you, Lord, would get fed. If there's anybody here that's not ever trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior, I pray today would be the day of their salvation, where they would fully put their trust in a risen Savior who can offer them life. And Lord, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I got a little bit excited. I forgot to tell you. Valentine's Banquet it's a fundraiser, and the tickets are $30, okay? So remember that. Tickets for the Valentine's Day Banquet, February 17th, tickets are $30, okay? So that being said, now let's back to 1 Thessalonians. All right. Comfort for the saved. We're going to take each of these verses, and I just want to make some comments about each of them. And one of the things that I mentioned, this is the hope of a believer. What you just read is the greatest news that you and I have. You know what, I mentioned it in Sunday school, but, you know, we ask each other how we're doing. How you doing? Well, I'm good. How you doing? Well, I'm pretty good. You know, we say that, and I mentioned it in Sunday school. What you and I have learned to do, if you're saved, is how to be good in a cursed body. You know, how are you doing? Well, I'm pretty good. Well, it'll be a lot better one day. What we've grown accustomed to, because we don't really know anything else. We've grown accustomed to, and we've figured out, we've learned how to make it, how to get by with things, how to live our lives under a curse. What you just got told in 1 Thessalonians is one day that curse is going to have no more pull, no more influence on your body at all. And what you just read about is something that is knowledge available to someone who would trust in Jesus Christ. This is the thing that folks, you know, if a person is lost, what you just read in verse 13. He said, listen to this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be ignorant of this thing. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep means dead. As far as the body is concerned, dead. Them which are asleep. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have what? No hope. They go to a funeral. You put on good airs. You do the eulogy. You hope, you know, people may even say, well, they're in a better place just to provide some sort of hope. But that's not hope. That's wishful thinking sometimes. The point is, there is a difference and there is a knowledge. When someone trusts Jesus Christ, now they have a certain future. You say, well, if you're saved and you've lost a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter. I say, we say things like, we've lost them. You haven't lost them. You know exactly where they are. It's not that they've. What's happened is the shell that's no longer being used was put in the ground one day. The shell wasn't needed anymore. The body wasn't needed anymore. It had served its purpose. It was under a curse anyway. And at that point in time, I heard a preacher describe it as this: the rented mobile home was now put in the ground, and it was not needed anymore. And at that point in time, that soul was more alive than they'd ever been before in their life, ever been in a body. They were, where were they? You read about it here. They were with Jesus Christ. So it's not like we lost so-and-so. No, you didn't lose them. You know exactly where they went. The difference is somebody who's never trusted Jesus Christ has no idea what's going on after the grave. And you can put as much sugar coating and niceties on it as you want to. Oh, well, they're in a... There is... All of that is emptiness. They just cross your fingers. Maybe something's going to work out. But what you just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the comfort for the saved people. My hope is not that my life in this world is going to get better somehow. My hope is that one day God is going to change this body to match what he's done on the inside. Take the inside of me, that he's put his Holy Spirit on me, and make the outside match what he's done on the inside. And I will have no more desire for sinful things. I will have no more corrupt thoughts. In fact, having experienced sin for a while and then experiencing life in a glorified body, you and I will have absolutely no desire ever to go back to sin. No desire to ever delve into that world again. And so first of all, in verse 13, there is a comfort of knowing. Folks say, you ask them, well, do you know where you're going when you die? And people say a lot of times, nobody can know that. That's not true. What you just read is the fact that if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you do know that. You know exactly what's going on after you die. You know exactly where people are who have trusted Jesus Christ. And it's not a question of, well, we lost them. Well, I hope they're somewhere in a good place. No, you know exactly where they're at. So he said in verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant. I mean, ignorant, you know, you can ignore certain information. That's what the lost world does. They have access to this information, and you choose to ignore this information. And because you've chosen to ignore this information, you have no hope. There's nothing you can do now to get out of a grave. The problem is, again, it's such a practical thing and a simple thing. We've talked about it a couple times before. If you were relying on your good deeds to make you close to God somehow, then you point out the good thing that you've done that's going to get you out of a grave. You say, well, I remember a guy, he was a good guy as far as if he was saying the truth. You know, he said, well, I've adopted so many children. You know, I work with children. I've adopted so many children. So we asked her, it's not a question of the good things you've done. I mean, you show me and tell me what adoption that you've done is going to get you out of a grave at the end of your life. There's nothing, okay? You show me the amount of money you've contributed to charity that's going to get you out of a grave at the end of your life. There's nothing. It's a practical matter. You don't need honor and good works. You need life. Your problem is not that you haven't done enough good or whatever. Your problem is death, and you need life. And Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever defeated death and raised up from the grave and then said, all right, I now offer you my life. I'm going to give you my life. If you'll trust me, you will participate with me in my life. It's a practical matter. I mean, you need life. The wages of sin is death. And there is no amount of, I mean, not saying good, doing good is a bad thing. I'm just saying it won't get you out of a grave. I'm just saying giving money isn't going to get you out of a grave. Not that it's a bad thing to give to charity, keep doing it. But it won't get you out of a grave. I'm not saying serving people is a bad thing to do. Sometimes we go too far on that thing and say, well, you know, even you're doing good is wickedness and all that stuff. Well, maybe sometimes it is, but that's not the point. The point is none of that gets you life. And your problem and my problem is death. We have figured out how to live a life in this cursed body, say, how's it going? Well, it's good, meaning it's good for living in a cursed body. I mean, it's the best we can do. I can't do anything about it, But one day, God's going to do something about it. And he's going to change the body to match the glorified body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ provides the pattern now. He lived out a perfectly sinless life in a flesh and blood body, enduring temptation, yet never giving in to temptation. And he provides the pattern of what it looks like to have victory over sin. When we say he's sinless, that means he endured temptation and gained victory over it. Not that he never experienced anything. He experienced it all and he had victory. And he said, all right, now that I've created the pattern for an incorruptible body, I will pass that on to folks who will trust me. And so in 1 Thessalonians, that's what you're reading about. One day God will change that body to match Jesus Christ's glorified body. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Some people are ignorant. Some people choose to be ignorant. Some people, you talk to them, do you know where you're going when you die? Well, nobody can know that. Well, I know that. But I don't know that because of me. I know that because I trust what God did. And I trust what he said. Now, you may not know that, but that's your problem. That isn't God's deal. And it's not that you don't know it so it's unknowable. It's that you don't know it because you are ignorant of it. Because you choose to be ignorant of it, or for whatever reason, you don't want to know it. There are people who are comfortless in death. And that's what he said. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Some people choose to ignore God's word on it. Some people say we don't know what's going to happen when we die. This always fascinated me. You know, I don't know. It always fascinated me. I don't know. It's incredible how religious people will be without any kind of eternal information. What I mean by that is this. Here's a person who lives, for instance, in the Catholic Church for years. I say Catholic because it's everywhere around here. All right? I could pick on any other ones, but, you know, this is the one we're all exposed to pretty much. All right? You'll live in this religion all your life. And then you come to the end of your life, and when it's most needed here, when somebody needs comfort the most here, the priest or whoever says, well, we don't know what's going to happen here. You just told me your religion is temporary. You only work within these parameters and you have no idea what happens after this. I don't need a religion that only works within these parameters. I need a religion that works after death. Your belief system, religion can't explain life after death. It is a religion of sorrow and of ignorance. That's what he just said. Some people have no hope because they're ignorant. But I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know there are comfortless people. Then verse 14, there are conditions of comfort. Verse 14, he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. See, that is the crux of the matter. Not that I've done this or like going back to the good works, the money, whatever, all that stuff. I need somebody who can defeat death. I don't need a pat on the back from God congratulating me for giving $100,000 to whatever. I need somebody who at the end of this body can raise up a new body and give me life at the point of death. There are conditions. What's the condition? Well, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. All right, how many of you believe Jesus died and rose again? Amen. I believe that. All right, he said with that same confidence, you believe Jesus Christ died and rose again. With that same confidence, believe that one day he's going to take your body and resurrect it like his body now. So you take this same belief, what you're supposed to believe here. You say, well, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I trust him. All right, what you're trusting him for is to give you life. Same confidence of the future as it is in the past. You believe he did this? All right, well, believe he's going to change the situation one day. But you believe he rose from the dead? All right, believe that one day he is going to come back and he is going to completely change this corruptible into something incorruptible. There are conditions. Well, what's the condition? If you believe. That's what he just said. You know how hard it is to get to that point? Well, if you believe. If you believe this about Jesus Christ and believe that this is possible in your life, well then, you got it. There are conditions of this comfort. The only, you understand this, the only shot of ending up with God is trusting in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You know, your dead loved ones, mom, dad, husband, wife, son, daughter, your dead loved ones are not dead. They are more alive than they've ever been, like I said. They are experiencing life without a curse. For to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, they are not lost. You know exactly where they're at. And when Jesus Christ comes to change when he comes back and he comes to change the corruptible into incorruptible, he's bringing them with him. So you know what's going on. You know, for years before Jesus Christ, you need to think about this, because for years before Jesus Christ rose from the dead, death had the final word on everything. People live their lives according to death and what death had to say about their life. People live their lives according to how does this work in relation to the grave. I mean, the world's philosophy was, well, we try to enjoy everything we can, get every pleasure, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. Everything revolved around the grave, and what did death, who was king, what did he have to say about this? But when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, death was no longer king. Death didn't have a word in it anymore. Death was now relegated to something that, all right, this thing happens, but this thing doesn't have the final word anymore. When Jesus Christ came out of the tomb, when he resurrected on the third day, death, who had been king for millennia, was now destroyed. And people no longer had to live their lives in fear of death. People no longer had to look to death as, what does death have to say? From that point on, it didn't matter what death had to say. What mattered now was Jesus Christ and what does he say about this? Because he's life. And so when he came out of that grave, death, who had had the final word, no longer had the final word. Everything people did in relation to death no longer had to be done. Death was no longer king. Death was no longer the end of the matter. You know, it's such a, I don't know, I mean, it's, to me, thinking about it, it is such a simple, I guess, yet complex matter. What I mean by that is this. The solution to your problem is life. There is nobody else in this world that's ever come out of a grave and then offered you the solution to your problem. Muhammad is in a grave. I know you guys know this. So if you want a religion that is a dead religion, then you can go to a dead guy. If you want a religion that works around death and revolves around death, you can go to a dead guy. But Jesus Christ is unique among anybody that's ever showed up in that he defeats death, offers life to people, and came out of a grave which nobody else could conquer. And the condition is, not if we believe, or if we believe in God, or, you know, if we have a test, if we say we're a Christian or whatever. The condition is, if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that's the condition. You trust that because that's what you need and what I need. The condition of comfort. Now, if you trust that, you know what you have? You have comfort. You know death is not the final word. You know death is just a part of this body doing, living under a curse. You know that this part of your life, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, this time in your life is the shortest time in your life that you'll ever spend any time in eternity. And the shortest part of your life will be spent under a curse, but the vast majority of your life will be spent without a curse. That this time is a brief time, a short time. That's the comfort. If we believe Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Notice there's also certainty in this comfort. You know, it is impossible, I think, it's impossible to have real comfort on something that is shaky ground. Yeah, you ever tried to stand on something that's shaky? You ever tried to get your balance on something? You ever tried to accomplish anything on something that is wobbly? And it's tough. It's even more tough to have any confidence in what you're doing. I was doing something the other day, and I think I was changing some light bulb or something. Anyway, I'm on a ladder, and the ladder's like, you know, kind of whatever, and it was sitting on a stick, you know. It was just kind of got off and all that. But the point is, you know how that feels. Something you can't have any confidence in because it's shaky. This is not shaky. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Not by some oral tradition we got, or not by some hope so we got. By the word of the Lord, let me tell you what's going to happen. There is certainty of this comfort. You know, one of the things that's going on here is a certainty that one day Jesus Christ is going to interrupt everything that's going on here. One day he is going to intervene and interrupt everything that's going on here. One day, and it's certain, there's certainty in coming a day when the dead in Christ shall rise. And then another blessing of that is, hey, if he shows up and somebody's still alive, you know what happens to you? Immediately changed. You never experience death. You never have to live out your last days in a hospital or whatever. The hope is, you know, he shows up, man, I'm done. I'm out. This body, drop it. I don't need it. I don't even want it anymore. Get rid of it. Retire it from the mobile home units, whatever. Do away with it. There is certainly coming a day, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Just because there are living Christians around doesn't mean the dead ones in the ground are going to stay in the ground until the living ones stop living. One day there is going to be an interruption to the whole thing. And Jesus Christ will get the dead ones out of the ground. He will fashion new bodies, and the ones that are alive, hey, so be it, you're alive. But I'm here to change things. You happen to be alive? Good. We're going to change it. The certainty of the comfort. It's a comforting call. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Boy, and the shepherd shows up, he comes down and he calls out, and you know who hears? The ones that were listening. My sheep hear my voice. It's a mystery, he said. It's a mystery. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, it's a mystery. You know what was a shock to people? The flood was a shock to people. That wasn't even though somebody had been saying it for years, somebody had been building a boat for years, somebody had been preparing for this for years, you know, it still came as a surprise. Boy, the rain came down, and you do the math, man, the rain upon all the earth, was coming down. I did the math one time, and I think it was at a rate of rain and fountains of the deep, all that stuff's coming up, and it's at a rate of like 6 inches a minute. I mean, you talk about torrential floods. You talk about panic that you don't even have time to experience now. I mean, 6 inches over the whole face of the earth, 6 inches every minute, all the way up over the mountains until everything that could breathe couldn't breathe anymore. And it was a shock, even though somebody had been saying this is going to happen. One day, Jesus Christ is coming back, and you know what people say? Ah, ain't coming back. That ain't going to happen. No, look, our hope is in, I hope that we can change the political spectrum, what's going on, we can change the environment, we can change, this is what my hope is in. You know, your hope is just temporary. One day there is coming an interruption that people have been talking about for centuries. And it's coming, and Jesus Christ will show up. People will come out of the ground. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen this before. When Jesus Christ resurrected the first time, in Matthew chapter 26, 27, when he resurrected the first time, people came out of their graves the first time. And they walked around Jerusalem. They came out of the graves. Jesus Christ wasn't the only one that resurrected that day. He gave life to a bunch of people that day. And he came out, and the others came out, and they walked around Jerusalem. I mean, can you imagine? You know, you go to the cemetery in Beeville, and some of the headstones are turned over. The things are just piles of dirt up there, and people are walking around that you've only seen in black and white pictures. But that day is coming again. And he isn't coming up out of the ground, he's coming down. And he's coming down to catch up people. It's a comforting call. And a child of God is supposed to be listening for that call. Live their life, live your life listening for that call. It's a mystery though. It's a mystery. And then there's the comfort of being caught away. This is so good. I mean, we could spend like 2 months on this thing. This is so good. It's good for me. I like it. I'd rather talk about this than fornication, honestly. You know, I really would. I'd rather talk about this than, you know, anything else. The comfort of being caught. Look in verse 17 there. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now watch this. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So what's happening here? So shall we ever be with the Lord. So when I meet the Lord and you meet the Lord for the first time, face to face, you've never seen him before, but you've trusted him. You've never seen his face. The first time you see his face, that's the way you're going to be forever. You're not taking cancer with you. You're not taking pain with you. It's not that I'm going to meet the Lord, but Lord, you know, this old body is just wore out. No. I'm not taking the curse with me. I'm not taking pain with me. I'm not taking cancer with me. I'm not taking a carnal mind with me. I'm not taking a broken heart with me. All of that is changed. And he said, all right, all of that is changed. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You take it from here. All right, now it's you've got an incorruptible body. He said, all right, that incorruptible body, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Just like that. The comfort of being caught away. Wait a minute, Lord. I know when I was younger, I always thought I had things I need to get done. You know, I need to whatever, you know, be successful in business. I need to have a family. I need to graduate school. I need to make some more money. Who needs to make money when you're walking on streets of gold? Who needs to make an education or get an education when you see Jesus Christ and you understand everything? Who needs all that? Who needs to graduate school when you see Jesus Christ and you have perfect knowledge? Lord, I just want to make sure my retirement works out. Just let me have a little more time so that I can make sure my 401ks do good and I can pull them out of the stock market when I need to, and I can make my retirement work out. Who needs a retirement when you're living in a mansion? Who needs that? The comfort of being caught away. What I'm saying is, you and me, we don't have anything left that we need to do. There's nothing else. I mean, we're left here to be a witness, to be a testimony, hopefully help other people be fruitful, to edify the saints. But look, there's nothing left in this world I need. Everything I need's up there. My retirement's up there. My education's up there. The comfort of being caught away. Hey, well, I just got some things left that I need to do. Like what? What do you need to do? What can you do that's not going to be done up there? The comfort of being caught away. And then lastly is this, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There you go. All that we just said, he said, all right, you take that. Now, you're going to live out your life. You're going to live under a curse. He said, cast all your care upon him. You know what that means? That means you got care. That means you're not, it's not saying don't have care. It means you got some things you want dealt with. He said, all right, you take all this and just understand. In this life, there'll be some issues. But here's what I want you to do. Comfort one another with these words. You take what I just told you, and that's where you draw your strength. You don't need to get it from any other source. You get your strength from what I just told you. And when you get to the funeral, and you bury your loved ones, it's a grief. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Sometimes we try to comfort each other with hope down here. Say, well, I'm going to the doctor and I think I can get rid of this cancer. Oh, don't worry, honey, you'll be able to beat that cancer. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But those aren't the words to comfort each other with. Comfort each other with these words. Well, I've gone through some hard times, and it's just rough down here, and you know, I don't know what's going on, and don't worry, you'll get out of these hard times. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Point is, those aren't the words to comfort each other with. He said, comfort each other with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What I just told you, that's the comfort. I'm not looking for things to necessarily get better or get worse or whatever down here. I'm not looking for anything particularly special down here. I'm looking for everything special to happen when I see him. And in the meantime, I'll live out my life. I'll try to be a good testimony, try to be a good pastor, hopefully maintain a good relationship with the Lord. But I'm not looking for this body to make it through to forever. I'm not looking to beat every disease on the earth. I'm not looking to any of that stuff. Why? Because those places don't contain my comfort. My comfort is here. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is where the comfort is. The comfort for the saved. If you're here without Jesus Christ, I encourage you. This comfort